You are listening to the Rob Scott Podcast, your source for Rob's take on current events. Let's begin the show.
Research universities spend huge sums of public money to reach preordained conclusions. Professors teach only lessons that are consistent with wisdom students have picked up on TikTok, even when those lessons contradict the foundational principles of their disciplines. The CDC has become an excellent guide to protecting your health, but only for people who realize you should do the opposite of whatever it advises. The courts, the last holdout in this ongoing inversion of reality, are now regularly used as a coercive weapon of elites against those who threaten them. We have literally witnessed the Department of Homeland Security attempt to set up a truth ministry and declare accurate critique of government as a kind of terrorism. To my fellow patriots in the West, the pattern is unmistakable. I cannot tell you with any certainty who they are or what they hope to accomplish, but I can tell you that we are being systematically denied the tools of enlightenment and the rights guaranteed in our Constitution. We, those who remain dedicated to the values of the West, must fight this battle courageously, and we must win. For if we do not stem the tide, the result will be a dark age that differs from prior dark ages only in the power and sophistication of the coercive instruments wielded by those who will rule us.
Well, this week has been interesting. It's followed pretty much a pattern that that the last 2.5 months have been, where we're still working out of these box trucks that you use for moving. And it has to add about an hour and a half to your day, just getting in and out of your truck, going to the back of the truck, opening up the back of the truck, and then trying to find your boxes mingled in, because they shift all over and slide all over the place. And now it's been over 3 months since, about 3 months since our trucks were pulled, and they've been working on them. And I know that, I don't know what it is. I know the hub has been particularly hard on them, because I think a lot of this stuff should have been taken care of a long time ago. And, you know, they're just holding fast to getting all this stuff done and not approving these things to go back on the road until they get all these things done. So we were promised again, like this weekend, that they would be available, and they weren't. And so we'll see on Monday. See if I walk in on Monday, and hopefully we'll be back in our trucks. I really hope so, because it's starting to wear me out. As any of you listen to me, you know I'm an older guy. I'm 65 years old, and I never was tired like I have that I am now. I come home exhausted. That's why I used to do this. This podcast used to be like once a week or twice a week, and I get home and I'm just like, I'm spent, man. And I eat something, take a shower, clean up, and I kind of like sit down and, you know, watch a little bit of TV or do some research that I want to do for one of my podcasts. I end up falling asleep, and then then it's just another day starting all over again. So anyway, not to, you know, bitch and complain too much about stuff, but I really hope that they have our trucks ready to go again come Monday. I really do. I'm not banking on it. We'll see what happens. But it would sure be nice to get back to normal. And it wouldn't be taking me, you know, as long to do my route as it is now. Anyway, that was good. It's been an interesting week, as if you've been following any kind of news or any actions. The biggest thing was in the news was Trump's trial. That's, I guess, it's happened in New York with Stormy Daniels and this whole stupid case that shouldn't even been brought forth, with federalizing, you know, campaign finance and hush monies and all this stuff. Listen, whether you like Donald Trump or not, that is not, I don't think that is really the question that you should be asking yourself. I know he is a very divisive person. You either love him or you hate him. There's not a lot of people that are on the fence with this guy. You have your never Trumpers, you have people that just absolutely hate him. I have a friend of mine who just absolutely hates the guy. I think he wishes he was dead, his wife was dead, his kids, everything. It was just like, oh my gosh. Anyway, and I understand it, you know, because he you know, when he was president, he always mouthed off, always tweeted too much, I thought. And I never appreciated that. I never supported that. You know, I just think that you need to be a little bit more selective in what you say about people. But that's Donald Trump, and people kind of like need to understand who this guy is. It doesn't excuse his behavior, but you need to kind of understand who he is. And I myself, this is just my personal view, my personal opinion. I kind of get over all of the, you know, name calling and nicknames that he gives people and stuff like that. And I try to get past all that, and I look at what he did when he was president of the United States of America. For 4 years, we were at peace. The Middle East was probably calmer than it's ever been with the Abraham Accords that was settled. Our economic situation was rising and good. More people were working. More people were making money. Our southern border was secured. It wasn't wide open like it is now, and we still had some illegal aliens coming through and drugs and things like that. Of course, not everything's going to happen perfectly, but you have to admit that under Trump's presidency and his administration, things were a lot better. Even with all the fighting and all the people that were after his ass the whole time he was for 4 years, he was president of the United States. He accomplished quite a bit, and the country is in a better place. You want to argue with that, or you want to debate that? Come on, I'll debate you all day long with it. I'll just give you stats, and you can sit there and, you know, pick your nose or grab your ass or whatever you want to do. But we are in a better place, and you can't deny that from where we are today. Okay, we have wars and rumors of wars. We got rumors of, you know, starting of World War III. You know, with the fights going on with Russia and Ukraine, and now Israel and Palestine and Iran, and it just continues to get worse and worse and worse. And what I fear, I don't feel for myself. I'm not going to go to war. You know, I'm too old for that. But my grandkids maybe, and my grandkids maybe, my son who's in the Navy right now might. And I don't like that. I mean, that's why my son's in the Navy, of course, to serve his country. I understand that, and he understands that. But I hope it doesn't come to that. And every day I kind of worry about him, and I kind of worry about where we're going with this administration. There doesn't seem to be any strong leadership at all. You know, one thing with Trump was that I think people respected the United States of America, and they feared the United States of America because of Donald Trump. And it was a good thing that they didn't know how to react to him. So they reacted in a kind of a neutral way by not getting involved with things, because they didn't know how he was going to respond in many cases, which is a good thing. I just don't think he had the same thing with Joe Biden. I think Joe Biden is a very weak leader, and he's always been a weak leader. I've known this guy. I lived in back east in New Jersey and Philadelphia for 35 years, and he was, you know, he was a senator in Delaware, and he's always been the same way. He's always been wrong on foreign policy. He's never been right on anything, and I'm serious. He's never been right on anything, and he's been a habitual liar all the way through as a senator and everything else. He's just not been a very good person. And he's brought that personality into the White House and into this administration. And now we have this weak, this weak leader. And that's all, I mean, come on. You have to just open your eyes, and you have to really kind of like look at what's going on. Okay, you just can't, you know, look at promises he made when he was running for president of the United States. I'm an old guy. I'm like grandpa. You know, I'm going to bring civility back to the White House. Grown-ups are, you know, moving back in the White House. Well, I'll tell you what, if the grown-ups have moved it back into the White House, and the grown-ups are making the decisions that are affecting the United States of America and affecting us on a world stage, affecting us over in Europe and in the Middle East, you know what? I'll take the children back. If Trump was considered the child in this and didn't act normally, then I'll take him back, because things were running a lot better from a standpoint, even though people were sitting there saying that he would bring on World War III, that he had his finger on the nuclear button and the codes and stuff like that, he was going to cause wars and rumors of wars and all this stuff, which never came to pass. So it was just all a bunch of malarkey and stupid, just political campaigning and media, of course, spreading lies about the guy the whole time that he was president of the United States. That being said, you know, of course, he's got his failures, he's got his weaknesses. He's a playboy. He's all these things that people don't like, and I get it. I completely understand it, and it's understandable, and it's a real thing. But as I played at the beginning, or as I said at the beginning of this, we are being taught. As I played that of what's his name? Let me hold on for a minute. I think his name was Brett Weinstein. He was given testimony or something at a Senate hearing, and he was talking about how our colleges and our administration and our government today is acting in a way that we shouldn't, and it's very damaging to us as individuals, damaging to our Constitution, and it needs to be fixed, and it needs to be fixed sooner than later. In fact, it's, you know, now. It needs to be remedied now. I've done a lot of thinking about this, and you know, it looks like we're going to have two candidates, which neither one I really kind of really like. I mean, I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden. I mean, why would I want to vote for, you know, why would I want to vote for this man who's brought nothing but divisiveness and division? See, he promised us that he would be the person that would bring everybody together, you know, right? A unifier. And he's not. He's divided us more than Barack Obama divided us as a country. He's brought in more race, transgenderism. He's, you know, brought in this division between the government and its people. I think he's made us a laughingstock on the foreign policy map. I really do. I just think he's not the person that he purported himself to be in his first campaigning, that he was going to be the adult in the room and the old guy like Grandpa. All right, he's just not. And now we have 4 years of what it's going to be like with Joe Biden. And it's just going to get worse. It's things he might be promising now are just promises, political promises that he's not going to keep. Because if he wins, then he's going to be emboldened. He's just going to do more of the same. And we're going to continue to see interest rates high, home prices high, gas prices high, continued evil going on in a foreign policy nature. We're going to continue to see an uprise in illegal immigration. And it's going to become more and more of a mess if you elect this guy. I can't even do that. I can't even think about that. Okay, and then I sit there and think, well, am I going to give my vote to Donald Trump? And well, there's nobody else. I mean, he's going to be the Republican nominee without any doubt. You know, and you got all these court cases. You know, is he going to get convicted? If he's not, how long is that going to be? You know, if he gets convicted, and then it'll go to an appeals court, and probably more likely go to the Supreme Court. Or more likely, most of these cases are going to get overturned, and that'll be it, right? But the media will get what they want. The media will get to call him it was charged federally, and he's charged federally, and he was found guilty federally, and they won't care about what the Supreme Court or some kind of appeals court will nullify those judgments and those things, but they won't care. They'll have what they want. They'll have this. They'll have him branded as this federal, you know, breaker of federal laws, and make him a criminal, and that's what they'll do. And that's what they're hoping for, and that's because they know that Joe Biden can't beat this guy. They just know it. They can't beat him. He's losing, and you know he's ahead. Even though they're doing all this to this man, just like they did 4 years in his presidency, and impeached him twice, and in both cases, he wasn't impeached. He wasn't taken out of office. And now we know through just some time, you know, that Bongino saying, or that Bongino rule is give it 72 hours or so, maybe sometimes a year, sometimes, you know, more, you know, months. But we now know that a lot of the stuff that was pulled off and the accusations that he had against him were just fake and false and made up by Hillary Clinton and her campaign and the Democratic Party just to try to ruin this guy. And, you know, Trump said this a long time ago, and this isn't, I'm not pushing for Trump or anything, I'm just not, but he said this a long time ago. He says, if they can do this to me, they can do it to you, and I'm doing this for you, and I'm doing this for you as Americans, because they can come after you just like they're coming after me. And I thought that was kind of a cool, you know, campaign thing. But as I watch things unfold, I'm seeing more and more of that take place. Okay. I was, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about was the Mayorkas impeachment that the House submitted those to the Senate, I think, on Tuesdays. And of course, Schumer and the Democrats they tabled it and didn't even allow the trial to take place because they were saying it was unconstitutional, that there's crimes that were to the level of impeachment, right? And they didn't even have a trial, which I thought was very. Well, I understand where they're coming from. They don't want the information to come out to the American people. That's all. You know, when Trump was impeached by the House, and then it went to the Senate. The Senate allowed the impeachment trial to take place, and they allowed the witnesses, they allowed the testimony to come forth, and then they voted on that and decided not to impeach Donald Trump. But for the Democrats not to do this, they just broke every aspect of what you would expect from the Senate to get to the bottom of a case like this, and it wouldn't even allow, you know, testimony and evidence to be brought forth. They just cut it out. So, I mean, what did I do? Lasted like a half a day before Schumer cut it off, and then, you know, Mayorkas is, you know, scot-free. Well, the American people don't know anymore, unless you listen to podcasts that, and you listen to people that have evidence against this guy, you would never know, because the Democrats don't want you to know. They're scared stiffless to have this information given out to the American people, what this man has done, what he hasn't done to stop the massive influx of illegal aliens into this country. And it's probably, what, over 10 million today. And all the excuses and all that stuff and all the, you know, well, just the excuses that they give, that they can't control it, that they know that, well, first of all, they're telling you that it's closed and that it's perfectly fine, yet you have, what, 2 million people coming in to the country every month or something like that, and you get a total of 10 million, 2 million of those, we don't even know where they are, we don't know who they are, we don't know if they're murderers, terrorists, or whatever, and it's just not a really good situation. And it's quite frightening. It's quite frightening for an individual like myself. It's frightening. I've got kids who are trying to raise families, granddaughters, grandsons who are going to school, and it's just frightening to me. I worry about them. I pray for them every night that they're safe and they're kept safe, because we live in a more dangerous society than we ever lived before, and that's. I have to tell you, man, that's just been over the last 4 years, because I never worried about this too. I never worried about this too much when Donald Trump was president of the United States. I didn't. Just went to work and raised my family, and it was, you know, everything was good, and people were making progress, and we were prosperous, and things like that. And now we're completely opposite because of hate and because of, you know, divisive action against, because of an ideology that we're going to change everything that Trump did. We don't like what he did. Even though what he did was good, they didn't like it, so they, you know, they changed everything. And now what we're finding is a little backtracking on Israel. We're looking at backtracking on the border with the wall and things like that. And it's all political. It's all, you know, you got an election coming up. So you got Joe Biden, who knows that the American 77% of the American people don't like what's going on at the border. They support Israel. He is completely and utterly anti-Israel. And the Democrats are anti-Israel. And you're seeing a backtrack in that. So a little softening into that because he doesn't want to go into the election cycle and have that and have the American people angry at him, which they already are. They're not going to fix this inflation situation. They're just not. It's not going to happen overnight. In fact, when Trump gets into office and he makes some changes, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a year and a half, 2 years, 3 years, however it takes to get these changes made. But they have to be made. The change in direction needs to be done at some point because the direction we're going is not good. And we have to get a president back who the rest of the world respects and, you know, is respectfully fearful of him. And we don't have that with President Biden. Didn't have with Obama, because Obama was a big, you know, he just was all over the place as well. He'd call red lines and wouldn't, draw land in the sand, and then people would cross those lines and he wouldn't do anything about it. So he was just as weak and started all this crap going on. And you wonder, like, who's running the country? It's not Joe Biden, because Joe Biden can't. He's not capable. So who's running it? And it's all the cronies that were associated with Obama. And I wouldn't doubt if Obama's probably making decisions for this country with Joe Biden. I just there's just too much evidence that says he is. And the way that they just keep moving more and more to the left, more and more progressive, more and more woke, far extreme leftists. You even have liberals who are, saying that we're like way out of, you know, we've gotten away from liberalism and gotten into socialism and communism, and we're way off base here. You've got people who were, you've got individuals, reporters and stuff this week, Yuri, what's his name, wrote an op-ed about NPR and about their slant. And of course, you had Barry Weiss a couple of years ago with her leaving, I think it was the New York Times or whatever. And you have these people. You have Tulsi Gabbard who left the Democratic Party because they're getting too radical. They're too warmongerish. She can't support that anymore with a Democratic Party that used to be for the people of for the people, the poor, and they're just not that way anymore. You got RFK Jr. who is trying to run against Biden, and Biden is trying to do everything they can to keep him off the ballots. They're not allowing him to participate in the primaries. They're calling a lot of the primaries for Biden, and they're not even having primaries. So, but he's out there speaking the truths and outlining some of the things that Biden's doing that is far away from what his father and what the Democrat Party in general has always stood for, and they're not standing for that anymore. They don't stand for the blue-collar worker. They don't stand for you and I, the worker, any longer. And that was always their key. Now they're just the wealthy and the elites and the rich is all that they stand for. And that's what our government is today. I mean, if you look at the average salary, and then you look at the wealth of these individuals, these leaders, the Mitch McConnells, the Schumers, all these people who are in Congress, and look at their wealth. Look at how much they've made since they've been in office. You know, the political office was never meant to be someplace where you stay and you become a multimillionaire, a multi-billionaire because you're staying in office. But that's what we have today. We have people that are making money off the system, making money off of decisions that the government is making, and they're making money off of it. And they're going to continue to make money off of it if we continue to allow it. And we shouldn't. You know, our tax dollars are being used in places where, I personally don't think that they're correct to be used. I don't want them to be used in those areas. And more and more every day, it goes back to what Trump said, man, if they can do it to me, they'll do it to you. And they are doing it to us. I read this story this week of that 16-year-old kid in, what was it, North Carolina? Let me see. I think I have that up here somewhere. Let me see what I've got here. Yeah, here it is. It says, the North Carolina high school student suspended over using the term illegal alien. Okay, let me just read a little bit of this out. Using the term illegal alien is reportedly an infraction worthy of suspension in a North Carolina high school. In an email to the Carolina Journal, Leah McGee, I think is a mother, described an incident at Central Davidson High School in Lexington where her 16-year-old son was suspended for 3 days last week over the term. Now, you gotta listen. I can't believe this, but let me read this further. According to McGee, an English teacher was giving an assignment that involved using the vocabulary words such as the word alien. In response, her son asked the teacher a question. You mean like space aliens or illegal aliens without green cards? It was just a question to the teacher, right, to clarify what this assignment was supposed to be. Another student allegedly took offense to the term and threatened to fight McGee's son, forcing the teacher to contact the assistant principal. The staff later deemed the term to be offensive to Hispanic students and punished him. Because of his question, our son was disciplined and given 3 days out of school suspension for racism because he simply asked a question. McGee wrote to the Carolina Journal. He is devastated and concerned that the racism label on his school record will harm his future goal of receiving track scholarship. And it could. It really will. If you go into any of these woke universities, and it absolutely will. We're concerned that he will fall behind in classes due to the absence of the 3-day suspension. She also stated that the school has so far refused to remove the suspension from the son's record and that her family has already begun working with an attorney. I say good for them. And you know what? Take them to court. Sue their freaking asses off. Get what you can out of them. Make a statement and make it as hard and as broad as you can. Because these people, the only way that they'll learn is if it hurts financially. That's the only way they'll learn. They do not learn any other way. And that's the same thing with any of these, you know, it's the same thing with any, to me, if somebody's going to abuse me and try to take advantage of me, then I'm going to do what I have to do to hurt them as badly as I can and to make it painful for them to do it to the next person. I've always said this about women in sports, okay? And if you've listened to my podcast, I've said it multiple times. You have to look at short-term pain for long-term gain is my saying for that. If women really want to change women's sports and they don't want men playing in women's sports, then they have to stand up and say, we are not going to compete. I know that there's a lot of years and years and years and years of practice and sacrifice and everything that goes into this, but if you really care about your sport, it'll only take a few times if women do not compete where there's a man that's involved, like swimming or whatever. I don't care what it is, track or basketball or whatever it is. If you don't compete and you sit there and say, no, we're not going to do this, and these colleges don't have these, they don't have the females and women's sports going on any longer, they're going to be in trouble. They really will. And then who's going to look like the racist in the group? Who's going to look like the phobes in the group? The college is. You need to stand up and say, I've had enough. You know, and really that's what Donald Trump is doing. He's going to these court cases. If you ever look at him, it doesn't seem to be phasing him at all. It has to be phasing him. I mean, the guy is in court. He's always getting in trouble. These guys are throwing everything at him, the kitchen sink. They're throwing everything at this guy to get anything and everything to stick to this guy. And it doesn't. It always comes out. Fannie Willis and her fiasco. You got Letitia James and the judge there who is, you know, telling you that the Mar-a-Lago is worth $18 million and it's worth like what, $350 million or $400 million or something like that. It's like, and they're setting his bail at $450 million, almost a $500 million. So he can't appeal it. He has to have the whole thing so he can at least appeal it. And then he had to go to appeals court, and they dropped it, so he's able to pay it. Now he's appealing, and you know what? They're gonna get their butts kicked because it doesn't have any. There's nothing in any of those cases, none of those cases, because they're based on hate. They're based on Letitia James' political and her campaigning that I'm going to get Trump. I'm going to get Trump. I'm going to get Trump. Same thing with Fani Willis. Same thing with these judges. They all hate this guy. And now you got another case with Alvin Bragg in New York. And look what happened this week. I mean, they started looking at juries this week. And guess what happened? 50% of the people said that they couldn't be objective. So they isn't that crazy? 50% of the people they just didn't even interview because they said that they couldn't be objective about it. Objective in a court where you're going to listen to facts and witnesses, right? And you can't be because you don't like this guy. Simply because you hate this guy. They can't be impartial. That's incredible to me. And then you have a judge who is partial, who hates him. He has this daughter who is making money off of him and the trial. You got Alvin Bragg who hates him, who's going after him. It's, I don't know. Anyway, if you don't think they're going to come after you the same way that they're coming after him, they hate this guy. Okay, they're going to come after you. Why do you think that there's 87,000 new IRS agents, okay? We found out just this last week, I think, that 67% of all the new cases of audits aren't geared at the 1% or 2% rich people like they promised and like that Biden said that they were going to do, right? It's all going to what? The middle class. They're doing it to you. He is exactly right. They are doing to you exactly what Donald Trump said. If they can do it to me, they will do it to you. If they do it to him, they can do it to this 16-year-old McGee's son. Period. And they'll go after you. They will. If they don't like what you say or your opinion, they'll go after you. They'll go after you. If you're a tourist on January 6th and you happen to be close to the Capitol, guess what you're going to get? You got 300 people that are incarcerated because of a charge that should have never been included in their court case. Okay, and now it's before the Supreme Court. I don't think a decision's been made yet, but it's leaning towards that these charges that were applied to these 300 people are going to, hopefully they'll get thrown out and that their sentences will be reduced as a result of this charge being did, that it was illegal and unlawful for them to be charged with these particular aspects of the law. If they can do it to him, they'll do it to you. They will do everything they can to ruin your life and to make your life miserable because they don't like the average American people. They don't like the average American, the person that believes in the Constitution of the United States, the person that believes in the Bill of Rights. They just don't. They don't believe in freedom of speech. They don't believe in being able to defend yourself in the Second Amendment. They don't. They just don't believe it. They want control over your life, and they'll do anything to keep that control. And I think COVID, and I've said this before as well, I think COVID was just a precursor. It was just a, you know, role play as to how far that they could get and how far they could, you know, get the American people to, you know, follow like a bunch of sheep off a mountain, off a cliff. And we realized and we learned that, a lot more people decided to jump off that cliff than to stand up and say, hey, I'm going to be counted against that. I don't want anything to do with that. Right? I mean, geez, You couldn't even take a walk outside in a park because they closed down all the parks. Kids couldn't go to school. You couldn't go to church. You couldn't worship, right? Even outdoors, you couldn't worship. You know, I have a picture of my brother and I with bandanas on. We look like two bank robbers. It's kind of funny because he's a retired police officer. Anyway, we had those bandanas over. And the thing is when we were doing that, when you went into a store, if you had a bandana on, if you had something covering your mouth, everything was fine. You didn't have to have a certain type of mask to walk in, right? You could wear just about anything, and the people were. Come to find out, those masks, nothing of that worked. It was all just made up. Just, you know, and it's like, how far will they push things to get people to do what they want them to do? Well, they're pushing this kid, and the mom's fighting back just because of a question about illegal aliens. And it's a term that is used frequently. Let me read this thing here. Let me see here. They refuse to remove the suspension of her son's record, and that her family has already begun working with it. In response to suspension, McGee's son told the Carolina Journal, "I didn't make a statement directed towards anyone. I asked a question. I wasn't speaking of Hispanics because everyone from other country needs green cards. And the term illegal alien is an actual term that I hear on the news and can find in the dictionary." Her son later appeared on this talk show, Pete Callender, I don't know who he is, to add further details. It is a term used as federal code. It is a term that is heard frequently on many news broadcasts, she said. And I feel that if this was handled properly in the classroom, it could have easily been used as a teachable moment for everyone. And it wasn't. They turned on this kid, and now he's been suspended for three days. So, look, I mean, they can come after you. And this is probably a story that takes place probably in other school districts that we don't even hear about, right? And then they say that the Davidson's County School, they reached out to them but didn't get any comment from them. So we'll see how that works out. Hopefully he'll have that taken off of his school record and that suspension will be reversed. Here's what I wanted to make at the very beginning. I mean, I know I'm running a little bit long, but here's what I wanted to say. You may hate Donald Trump with all of your heart and your mind, okay? There's the female vote out there, the professional woman, the educated woman that hates him and said they would never vote for him. You got the never Trumpers that, you know, that will never vote for him. Here's my suggestion, okay? You put all those feelings aside, and I know this is hard, and I'm just saying, this is my opinion. Just put all those feelings aside, and just look at the record of each one of these administrations. Just look at them. Okay, Joe Biden has had corporations, the media, the legacy media, everything on his side, and pushing everything that they can, and trying to cover up everything that they can. On the other hand, when Donald Trump was president, they went after him for 4 years from the very first time he was coming down that golden escalator to announce his presidency. They were after his ass. Okay, so you have one president who are current president, and he's got everything, every media, every corporation, you've got everything, the whole administration, the whole government backing him and supporting him and covering things up. And look at what you have. Okay, look at what we have. Look at where we are. You have to look at where we are. If you're honest with yourself, I'm not saying you have to be in love with this guy. I'm not saying you have to be, you know, a Trump, you know, red hat wearing Trump supporter or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But if you strictly look at what each one of these men's policies are and how they're unfolding, how they have unfolded for 4 years under Joe Biden, and how they unfolded under Donald Trump. You have to sit there and put your feelings in the back for a moment. Go into that booth and vote on what is best for you and what is best for the American people. You have to put all the other stuff behind you. You do. You have to. You can't go in there with preconceived ideas and feelings, or you're going to be like trying to find a jury pool in Alvin Bragg's court case that they just can't be jurors because it can't be impartial. You know, are you going to vote simply because you don't like somebody? When you look at the facts, you look at the data, you look at everything, you look at where you were during Trump's administration, you look at where you are now, interest rates, illegal aliens, the flood of illegal aliens into this country, where we are, inflation, house prices, food prices, gas prices, everything, fear of war. You just didn't have this stuff, and that's the facts. You know, so when I go in to vote, I'm going to be looking at that. I'm going to put all my feelings, and I'm going to put all the shit that has been put out there, and I'm going to look at strictly what these men have done. And I'm going to vote for the person that's best for the American people. Not because I like him, not because I particularly like the guy, but you have to look at the data. You have to look at what this man has done, at what both men are doing, and you have to surmise that it was better during, you know, 16 to 20 than it was 20 to 24. You have to, because the data is there and the facts are there. You just have to. And there's nothing that says that that it would be any different. In fact, it might even be better than it was before, because when Donald Trump ran for president the first time, I'm pretty sure he didn't know what... I'm sure he didn't know what he was doing. He's a businessman. He wasn't a political person. And I bet he was overwhelmed. And he probably said some things, and I know he said some things and did some things that he probably shouldn't have done, made some promises that he maybe shouldn't have done, because he's, you know, he's egotistical and he's, you know, wants to get things done. He couldn't get accomplished what he wanted because he realized that he's running to a deep state that doesn't want him to do those things. But you have a four-year former president now who has learned from experiences now, and that's gonna season him even more. And I believe that this second presidency will bring about much greater change and much greater. Now he's not gonna be some savior to the world. I'm telling you that right now. Okay, can't do that, and he's not. But when I look at the two men and I look at the two administrations and I look at what's being done on both watches, I have to choose what's best for the American people and best for myself and best for my children and my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. I have to. And if you're an American, and if you go in there and you hate somebody or you love somebody, You got to get past the feelings. You've got to get past those things and say honestly with yourself. You got to, you know, there's each of us got to have this come into Jesus moment with ourselves when it comes to these two candidates and say to ourselves, what is best for this country? You know, what is? And I think when you go into that booth, I think you'll have a clear understanding of what that is and who that is. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. You can listen to my podcast anywhere on Apple and Spotify and any of your favorite applications that you like to use. I think they're all on all of them. If you got any comments, please drop me an email at robscottpodcast.com. And all my episodes are on my website at robscottpodcast.com. Give me 5 stars, follow me, share it with other people, spread the news. Just like anybody else, I'm trying to build my audience, and I really do appreciate the time you listen. I know some went a little bit longer than I normally want to go, but I thought it was worth talking about. So have a good week, and I'll see you next time.